This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. As an archaeologist, Patricia McEnany was interested in the history of the Maya people. The once great civilization collapsed in the 8th and 9th century in places like Guatemala, Belize, and southern Mexico. It was during a visit to southern Mexico that Patricia had a realization. A group of 4th and 5th graders came to hear her talk, and one of them, a little girl of Maya descent, asked her why the Maya people had to die. Patricia realized that while there is a depth of professional knowledge about the Maya civilization, the modern-day Maya people had been left out of their own history. She recently won a Guggenheim Fellowship that's going to give her the time and resources to explore that problem a little further. Patricia McEnany is a professor of anthropology at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill and joins us now. Welcome, Patricia. Good to talk with you.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Tell us about that moment, that realization you had when this little girl asked you the question, what was going on, and what did you think when she put that question to you?
Well, we were literally standing at the edge of an excavation trench, and the school children were all arrayed around the edges of the excavation unit. And when she asked me that question, I frankly was taken aback, and I didn't really know how to answer her. And I fumbled around for some words, and then I explained to her that really not all the Maya people had died at the end of the Classic period, that many of them had simply migrated and left, headed north into the Yucatan, which sees a real population explosion at that point in time, and had basically moved to other areas where greater opportunity existed. But she really did not seem at all convinced by my answer. And I realized that she just felt completely disconnected from this very deep history that was very much her own history. And that's when I began to think about that, and it troubled me for quite a while. And then it was actually not until 10 years later that I actually had the opportunity to begin to address the situation and put in place some programs that would initiate a dialogue about the past among descendant Maya peoples.
Well, and what is that? What is that program? I guess I want to get at what is the problem. I mean, in some ways, it's the way we tell the story. We focus so much on the highlights of a civilization that when it collapses, an 8-year-old girl might be forgiven for thinking that all the people died too. Is part of the problem sort of the way we tell the story and where we put the emphasis?
Yes, I think that we as archaeologists do bear part of the responsibility, and that what we see with the comment of the little girl is a kind of blowback or collateral damage from our, it's a very Western kind of obsession with collapse and in an understanding collapse in very apocalyptic terms. In reality, political systems, even our own, as we're well aware of what's going on in Washington right now, political systems are very fragile entities, compromise, and it is sometimes very, very hard won. And so, especially in these archaic states, political systems, you know, we see many of them generating and collapsing and then regenerating. And there was a regeneration during the post-classic in a very interesting way, because there was much less emphasis on building monumental architecture in the post-classic. There's much less emphasis on the sort of the cult of the ruler and all these beautiful carved stelae that we know about from the Classic period. So another complex political entity, many of them sprung up from the ashes of the implosion that occurred in the southern lowlands. But we tend to focus on this spectacular implosion. And then also there's a problem in that I began to look at the grade school curriculum that existed throughout the Maya region, and there simply was no material in any of those textbooks that spoke to the Classic Maya period, so that children growing up didn't really, they received no formal training or learning about their ancestors. And then the archaeological sites, the large ones anyway, are under the purview of the state. And so they don't really have much contact with the deep history, and they participate in the tourism industry. There is a $1 billion tourism industry based on their heritage, and descendant populations participate in that generally at a sort of a very low level in terms of economic gain.
And so, but it's a history largely constructed or reconstructed in the colonial or post-colonial period. So even there, I would guess Mayan people aren't telling their own story. Would I be right?
Right.
How much do we know? How much do we know collectively? And how much do the descendants of Mayan civilization know about their history? How much is still available to us?
Well, Maya people certainly know a lot about their history from colonial and post-colonial times. And so if you go anywhere in the Maya region, people will recite to you their ancestry, and in the Yucatan especially, their ancestors who fought in the so-called caste war of the 19th century against the sort of Mexican overlords. So that's, people are very attuned to history, but it's that deeper history going back 10 generations plus that tends to be a history that has been created by archaeologists, and the decipherment of the hieroglyphs that has been done by epigraphers. So during the colonial period, one of the first things that Spaniards did was to outlaw any sort of writing hieroglyphically, so that people would be tortured if they were caught writing their hieroglyphs. And so all the scribes were taught to use the Spanish alphabet. And quickly, there was a very deep tradition of literacy among Maya people in what we call post-classic times. But then the scribes all began to write in the European alphabet. So we have a huge body of colonial prose written by Maya scribes in Mayan, in Yucatec Mayan, but using the European alphabet. So the, you know, certain traditions of literacy continued, but they were translated into a colonial idiom. And then, of course, all sorts of things change in that transformation.
How do you go about getting this story back to the people whose story it is?
Well, we are doing a series of things. A lot of the stuff that we do is very out-of-the-box puppet shows about Maya cultural heritage. We have classroom enrichment programs that we sponsor in Honduras, in the small towns around the World Heritage Site of Copan. We had what we call radio novelas, sort of radio soap operas that were mixed the drama of small, you know, rural community living with cultural heritage and stories about the Maya past. And so we have been implementing a number of programs. I've been working on this for 7 years now to basically start a conversation about the past, to spur people to think about it and to talk about it and to consider what it might mean to them, and to give children a chance to learn something about what archaeologists have found out anyway when they're in grade school, and they're learning also about colonial and the history of the early republic in which they live.
Well, let me ask you this, and forgive me for asking this, but it does strike me that one can conceive of this as somewhat patronizing to come from another culture and say, here, let me help restore what you have lost. Was that a problem for you, and is that something you have to consider going forward?
Yes, it's something that I constantly have to grapple with and deal with. And I'm a Maya archaeologist, so my career is studying the Maya past. And so it's something that I know and something that I can share. And it's something that is There's just a feeling of discomfort that one feels in traveling in the Maya region or working and studying in the Maya region, a feeling of discomfort that the people who are part of the descendant community are not they're not at the table. They don't have a seat at the table to make decisions about the past and management decisions about world heritage sites. And so what we are simply trying to do is to get a conversation going, and we do capacity building. Many people say, "Oh, you're giving the Maya back their history," and I'm not giving Maya. That's not what we're up to. We're really trying to make knowledge more accessible to people. So we're trying to open doors of knowledge accessibility, and we're also using a community participatory model, trying to reframe the way in which archaeological research itself is done in the Maya region so that Maya people are partners in the research process.
Well, Patricia,
and more enfranchised.
Congratulations on the Guggenheim, and thank you for talking with us.
My pleasure.
Patricia McEnany is a professor of anthropology at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Up next, what does it mean to be boyish? Find out on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.